All righty. How many of you are ready to jump in the Word of God tonight? Praise the Lord. You know, God's Word is so important and so vital to our lives. Jesus made the statement, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so, it is our life. It is our spiritual life. And we thank God for the Word of God tonight. I want to talk tonight about when God changes what you want. When God changes what you want. I want to look at two scriptures to start with, then we'll go back and look at them individually and say some other things tonight as the Lord helps us. Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2. Now here the Apostle Paul has been talking about having the mind of Christ and having this same attitude that Christ had, this attitude of humility, who obeyed God, didn't count himself somebody that, you know, could basically pull rank and say, I'm God, I don't have to do this. No, he came and became obedient to death, and God exalted him. Because of that, we have salvation. We're supposed to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And he gets to verse 13, excuse me, Philippians 2:13. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God that's working in us, he said, that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And then I want us to go to James chapter 1. And you'll see, we'll tie this in here. After we read this, James chapter 1, we're going to read verses 13, 14, and 15. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Now, one of the greatest battles that every believer faces is not merely what they do, but what they desire. You know, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to be tempted. But I want you to notice that it's not God who's tempting us. And just to be quite honest with it, it's not always, and very rarely is it the devil that's tempted. He said here, we're tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust or our own desires. And you know, a lot of Christians struggle with that. Why do I still feel tempted to do that after I became a Christian? If I'm born again, how come these wrong desires sometimes show up? Amen. Depending on your background, how come these words go through my mind when I'm driving in traffic? Why do these habitual things continue on in my life after I've become a Christian? And so when we put these two scriptures side by side, we see something. Philippians 2:13 tells us God is working inside of us. And James 1 is telling us that temptation works through our own human desires. So here's something that we need to discover and we're going to look at tonight. God not only commands us to change our behavior in working out our salvation and living like Christ, he works inside of us until he actually changes what it is we want and what our desires are. So let's look at Philippians 2:13. Let's go back and look at that. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now notice two things God's working in us. Number one, to will. To will. God wants to influence our desires. He wants to influence what it is that we have as if it were, you know, that our will, to will and to do. And the to-do part is he empowers our actions. That word work there is an interesting word. You look it up, and again, I'm not a Greek scholar, but sometimes the original language helps us because there's something known in theological circles as the linguistic gap. And what does that mean? That means the language that was spoken then and the language that's spoken now, there's a gap between it because, you know, words change meaning. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, some of the words, and that's one of the things that if you want to change a culture, you got to change the words. Hello. We ought to be experts in that right now. People are trying to change, even rewrite history by changing what words mean. Hello. Don't look at me like I fell off a bus. I have fallen out of a bus in Kenya one time, but that was my fault, nobody else's, but I didn't hit my head. But that word work there, it comes from the word where we get our word energy. It means to energize. It means to produce an inward power. It means to be actively at work inside. In other words, God's just not in heaven observing what we do. He's working in us. He's energizing us. He's producing an inward power. In what? In our will, in our desires, in our motivations, in our ability. That's the ministry of the indwelling spirit. That's what God's doing us. He's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, in one of the things that, and we'll look at it maybe later, but I want to make sure I get to it right now in the beginning. God's word, there's a lot of statements concerning what God's going to do. I go back to Jeremiah the prophet. God showed him that Israel was going to go into captivity for 70 years. God showed that to him. And he wrote it. He preached it. And it was written down. Well, here's Daniel. He's in that captivity. And you know, Daniel was a godly man. And he was reading in the book of Jeremiah, reading what Jeremiah prophesied. And he started doing some math. And he found out, wait a minute, we're coming to the end of that 70 years. And so he started praying that what God said would come to pass. So I want to, and with this, let's, you know, these things, if you've still got, listen, and if you're struggling with temptation and you're yielding to temptation, it's because part of you wants to do that still. Amen or oh me, there's something in me that still wants to do that. Now, it's not your spirit. Your spirit's born again. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things are of God. But you still have a mind, and you still have a flesh, a body. And so, but let's, we should ask God, man. And when we go to God and we ask God to get involved, he gets involved. Father, I thank you. I'm asking you, work in me, energize me, that I would both will, have the will to do it, and actually carry out things that bring you pleasure. Work in me, God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the new birth. We quoted 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. When we're born again, there's a miracle that takes place. How many of you know God just didn't improve us on the inside? He recreated us on the inside. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look over there, 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, we were sinners by nature. That was our nature. And so in order for God to bring us and adopt us into his family, he had to do something about that nature that was on the inside of us. And again, it wasn't an improvement that he did. He totally recreated us and replaced that sin nature with his nature. Look at 2 Peter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Well, that's the lust there is the desire. As a believer, we now possess God's life and God's nature. Say that. I possess God's life. And I possess God's nature. Well, because of that new nature, and when we begin to cultivate that and look to the inside, new desires begin to appear. You know, we have a greater, you know, it's amazing. Once you get born again, a hunger for the things of God begins to show up. And I would suggest that you feed that hunger all the time. Stay hungry. We have a love for righteousness. There's a conviction by the Spirit on the inside about sin. We have a desire for the truth. We desire to please the Lord. You know, when you got born again, it's and depending, you know, everybody has a different testimony. We're not trying to build doctrine on our own experience. But it's interesting when you get saved, things that you once loved suddenly begin to bother you. Amen. And that's natural. That's good. You don't want that old sinful life to be comfortable anymore. Amen. Things you once avoided as far as the things of God are attractive to you now. That's not religion, praise God. That's God working on in our will. But why, as believers, do you still experience temptation? Why do we still face that? Let's go back to James, and let God explain that to us. Because I think it's important that we understand this. Now, let me say this. Being tempted is not sin. Right? It's not a sin to be tempted. It's not a sin to have a wrong thought. It's not a sin, you know. Jesus said, you know, Paul said, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. So evidently, as long as the sun's not down, you can be mad. No, that's not what he's saying. But he's saying it's not a sin unless you don't do something with it. Right? James chapter 1, let's just pick up in verse 14. He says, every man, so that's everyone, man there being mankind, everyone. We could say every man, every male or female, every person is tempted. This is written to Christians, so we could say every Christian is tempted when they are drawn away of their own lust and enticed. Whose lust? Our own. Our own lust. Now, you know, in Ephesians chapter 2, in those first three verses, it talks about, he said, who we were. We were living according to the lust of our flesh and of our mind, under the influence of the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. But according to the lust of our flesh and of our mind. You know, how many of you know your body? Your body is if it feels good, do it. That's just its mode of operation. God didn't originally create it that way, but that's how the world operates. And, you know, some folks are, if I can think it, I want to do it. But we're not to live according to those desires, those wrong desires. He goes on to say, then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. What's he telling us? Temptation operates through desire. But when we're born again, we've got a whole new set of desires on the inside of us, and we need to get those into our mind. We've got to renew our mind, present our bodies daily. You remember, we've been taught here very, very well by this ministry, we are three-part beings. Everybody say it, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Well, I am a spirit. I am not my soul. My soul is a tool for my spirit. My soul is my mind, my emotions, and then with that, my will. Now, the soul is very powerful because that's where decisions are made. We all know we have a body. I mean, your body's been talking to you all day. Any of you have your body tell you, feed me? Feed me. All right? For those of you that are coffee drinkers, how many of your body yelled coffee at you already today, right? You understand, we're used to hearing the voice of our body. And we understand that we have a mind and we have emotions, but all those things, you know, those need to be sanctified. When we were born again, our spirit was recreated instantly. But the mind has to be renewed. The body still carries the old habits. And so sometimes there's a conflict. Our spirit wants everything that's of God. Sometimes our flesh remembers what sin was like. You know, the Bible talks about the pleasures of sin for a season. But the mind has to decide who's going to rule my life. Well, let's just answer that right now. It's like God said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. He gave us the answer to the test. Well, let me give you the answer to the test. Let your spirit rule you. Right? Look at Romans chapter 12. The word of God renews our mind. So we're talking about dealing with temptation. When God changes what we want. We need to live out of the wants and the desires of God. Jesus made a statement. He said, I do always those things that please my Father. You know, you and I could live the same life. We could live to please the Father. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. See, don't let the world conform you, put pressure on you. To be conformed means to be pressured. Any of you ever had one of those little squishy balls, you know what I'm saying? Or any of you ever played with Play-Doh, right? You know, you put pressure on it, and that ball or that Play-Doh, wherever your pressure points are, it conforms to that image. Well, the world and this world system and wrong desires of our flesh and of our mind conform us into the wrong image. But he goes on to say, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not a conforming to, but a total transformation. In other words, you start desiring what you never desired before. Because why? The Word of God is changing how you think. Now, he talks about renewing our mind here, but, you know, I don't have time tonight, but the other thing that needs to be renewed in our soul is our emotions. Our emotions need to be renewed. Glory to God. Amen. Thank God for our emotions. God gave them to us, but we're not to be ruled by them. Well, as I renew my mind, as I change my thinking to agree with God's thinking, Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. If I'm thinking contrary to God's word, then I'm thinking, and what I think I'm going to believe, and what I believe I'm going to act and say and act on, if I'm thinking on the lie, something contrary to God's word, it's going to produce wrong actions, wrong believing. And I've got to recognize that in my own life. I like, most of the time, you know, I read that in preaching, and I'll read it, you know, to all of us, let God be true and every man a liar. But when I'm reading it to me, I'm saying, let God be true and Tad a liar. I got to hold myself to that standard way before I hold anybody else to it. I've got to examine my life and say, okay, Tad, what, here's what the word says. What have you been saying and what have you been believing? And I've got to make a decision to change. Listen, just because you hear the word of God does not mean you're going to renew your mind. Just because you hear the truth doesn't mean you're going to have your mind renewed. Mary came from the tomb and told the disciples, I've seen the Lord. And they were excited. Ooh, you saw the, and then he showed up. But Thomas wasn't there didn't hear Mary. And Thomas wasn't there when Jesus showed up. And they told Thomas, we've seen the Lord. He said, I will not believe. He made a decision of his will to not believe. See, you've got to make a decision of your will to believe what the word says. And when you do that, then your thinking and your mind starts to be transformed. Totally new. And when that happens, the word changes our values. It changes our priorities. It changes our beliefs. It changes our desires. And one truth about that is what you constantly feed your mind will eventually influence what you desire. So, you know, and we've really got to watch ourselves in this day, because information is at our fingertips so much now. It doesn't mean just because information is at our fingertips that information is even the truth. It's what someone wants to get across to people. We've got to watch. If we continually feed our mind with immoral media, anger-filled conversations, worldly thinking, then those type of things are going to be strengthened in our believing. We're going to have wrong desires. They're going to grow stronger. But when we feed ourselves on the Word of God, we spend time in prayer, we worship God, we fellowship with believers, then that new nature grows stronger on the inside of us. Not that it's weak, but that it's not just affecting our spirit, it's affecting every part of us. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. How many of you are glad for the Holy Ghost tonight? Look at Ephesians chapter 3 with me. This is part of one of his great prayers here that you can pray for yourself. Any Christian, you can pray this for them. But there's a statement that he makes here that is important in what we're talking about tonight. Renewing our mind. But then the work of the Holy Spirit to cause us to be strong. Look what it says in verse 16, Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The Holy Spirit strengthens our inner man. That strength is going to affect our convictions in life. It is going to have an effect on the desires that we have. One thing, too, it's going to help us with, that strength is going to help us be spiritually sensitive. Proverbs 18:14 says, especially the Amplified says, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in infirmity and bodily weakness. The strong spirit of a man. Thank God the Holy Spirit is strengthening us on the inside. You remember what Jude 20 says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is our strengthener. He is our standby. Glory to God. He is that strength that we need. Don't leave Him out of the equation. Thank God. Yes, God's working in us, but one of the things He's doing is that He's put His Spirit in us to be at work. I guess it was, I'd heard Brother Hagin say it, but you talk about what's He in there for? To hitchhike a ride through life? No, He's in there to cause us to be strong. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Notice the strategy there. Notice what the Bible doesn't say. Just try harder, fight harder, resist harder. You know, sometimes there when it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, we've got this idea of, you know, I'm going to get strong. I'm going to take a strong position. You know, I'm getting down in my athletic position. You know, I might take my three-point stance. I'm ready to go. You know, no, He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. My might can't do it. I can't do it in and of myself. I cannot overcome temptation just by myself. This is not just talking about willing something. This is talking about transformation. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice He said, walk in the Spirit. When the Spirit leads, our flesh loses its influence. Amen. And you can train your flesh. Hebrews 5 says you can train your flesh to know the difference between good and evil. Train it. Now, again, I mentioned this, but how do we cooperate with God's work? Well, prayer is how we cooperate with God's work. It's powerful. If God is at work within us, how do we cooperate with that? We pray. When we pray things like, Lord, change my heart. Lord, help me to desire what You desire. Lord, strengthen me to obey. Lord, I thank You that You're working in me both to will and to do of Your good pleasure. See, we're yielding to God's work in us. Now, in relationship to that, think of Hebrews chapter 4. Turn over there, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. I'm going to turn over to that one, not just read it off my notes. Hebrews 4, verse 16. We've read this, I'm sure you've read this before and heard this before. If not, that's all right. It's okay to hear it for the first time. Verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 4, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. And every time I read that, I stop and say, notice it didn't say arrogantly or pridefully, but boldly. In other words, you're welcome to come, but you don't come in arrogantly. You know, I'm welcome to walk boldly into my parents' home. But I don't walk in there all arrogantly. Hey, old man, old lady, how you doing? No. Now my dad always has a stocked refrigerator in the garage. And if it's not in the refrigerator, it's probably there next to the refrigerator, just hadn't been put in there. There's water, you know, there's energy drinks, there's soda, there's all kinds of different things. You just go out there. I don't even ask if I can have one. I boldly go in there. I do ask them, does anybody want something? But, you know, I don't have to stop and say, oh, Father, my mother, wouldest thou that I could go have a drink out of thy refrigerator? No. My dad's turning 87 here on Easter, and he'd slap me in the head yet, acting like that. What's wrong with you, boy? No, he wouldn't actually slap me, but you know what I'm saying. But come boldly. But look, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now that's important. Why? Because grace is God's empowerment. Grace is God's empowerment. When we ask God to help with our desires, what He's going to give us is His grace to do it. One of the aspects of grace that we teach here in the Bible College is sanctifying grace. The grace that empowers us to live a sanctified, holy life. It is His empowerment. You know, Jesus is our example, and He showed us how the will needs to be aligned with what God wants. Let's look at Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. Jesus modeled this even at the end of His earthly life and ministry. We see Him working on His will by yielding to God's will. But notice He does this through prayer. Now He's there. He's there in the garden, and he kneels down and prays. And get to verse 42. It says, "Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine or yours be done." Now here, it's interesting. Jesus is expressing the struggle of His own human will. If it's possible. But how many of you know it wasn't possible? But notice He said, "But your will be done. Your will be done." That's why it's so important to know what God's Word says about things. Right? And if you don't know, to ask God. You know, I know with a lot of the different things going on in the world, and you hear this and you hear that, and everybody's got their opinion, and everybody's got this. You know, sometimes I have to stop myself and say, "Okay, Lord, what do you want me to think about this? How do you want me to think about this? What does the Word say? But help me. Bring me, lead, you know, Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me into the truth concerning this." He prayed. He surrendered His will to the Father. Then look what happened in verse 43. "And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." Notice that his strength came after he surrendered his will to the will of God. Prayer became the place where his will was aligned, and strength was released when he aligned himself with God. I wonder if we get strong when we align ourselves with God's will. Absolutely. You know, God works through the prayers of His people. And so, you know, instead of just working hard trying to resist temptation, we're trying to resist that thing. You know, folks get born again, you know, and they had some habit they had before they got born again, and they're working hard, they're trying to do everything they can to do it, but yet they never go to God in prayer, they never ask God to help them, you know what I'm saying? And when we pray, not wishing that God would help me, but actually going and believing God will help me. How many of you know we pray in faith? We pray believing. John Wesley, as recorded in his sermon on working out your own salvation, he preached this in 1785, it's recorded, said, "God does nothing but in answer to prayer." Now notice, Wesley's not saying God lacks power, but he was showing us a biblical principle. God has chosen to work in partnership with us through prayer. And just because God said it doesn't mean it's going to happen unless I ask Him. You know, you hear people say, "Well, God knows what I need, but He said, ask and you shall receive." He said, "You have not because you ask not." Yes, God knows what we have need of, but He told us to ask. So as we're transforming our desires, God invites us to cooperate with Him, and we do that through prayer. We ask Him for help. We align with what He is already doing within us. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." I think one of the most powerful things that God does for us is in our life is to change what we love. Someone said this: love what God loves and hate what God hates. How many know God loves people, so you can't ever hate people? No Christian would ever say, I have hate. In fact, John said, no one who says they hate their brother has eternal life abiding in them. You can't be a Christian and say you hate anybody. You can say it, but you can't. You're either lying or you're not a Christian. Hello. But as we delight ourselves in the Lord, notice what happens. He reshapes our desires. Things that once tempted us lose their appeal. Things that once we resisted become our joy in our life. It's not merely discipline that we get, it's transformation. God doesn't restrain our desires, He replaces them. That's important, because we've been trying to restrain them instead of replacing them. What's our responsibility? Well, back to Philippians chapter 2. Let's go back there. Let's read verse 12 and 13. We didn't read 12 earlier, but let's read it now. Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, you got to understand, this is the Apostle Paul. He preached against working for salvation. So he's not talking about working to get saved. He's talking about the salvation that you already have on the inside of you. Work it out. Work it out. God works in us. We work out. For he goes on to say, for it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God does the work on the inside of us. We do the work outwardly. How do we cooperate with God? We feed our spirit the word of God. We yield to the Holy Ghost. We guard what influences our mind. We reject sinful desires early on in the process. And we act quickly on what God leads us to do. So what are we saying? God wants to transform our desires. He does that by recreating our spirit, renewing our mind, and strengthening us by the Holy Spirit. And we are invited to cooperate with that process through prayer, spending time in prayer. So listen, don't get discouraged if you're experiencing temptation. Don't get discouraged. Now that's not, grace is not a license to continue in sin. Grace is the power to live free from it. But not just live free from restraining it, but to live totally free where your total desire has changed. Where you no longer have a desire for that. But think about this. The very fact that you want to please God is proof that God is working in you right now. So he's already working in us. He's shaping our desires. He's strengthening our spirit. We ask him and we walk with him, his will increasingly become our will. Stand up with me. Let's make a couple declarations here before we close tonight. Say this with me. God is working in me. God is shaping my desires. God is strengthening my spirit. And what pleases God is what I want. Hallelujah. Amen. Lift your hands and thank God tonight. Father, we thank you that you're working in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Hallelujah. We thank you tonight, Father. Father, I thank you for those that might be here tonight that have been struggling with things. They've been struggling with different habits that just seem to be hanging on. I thank you, Father God, that tonight if they'll come to you and you continue to strengthen them, that these desires would fall off. They'd get totally new desires to be pleasing unto you. And they'll walk in freedom that you have promised us through Jesus Christ. Father, tonight we give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Our prayer team's coming down tonight. If you need prayer for anything, come on down. Ladies to the ladies, men to the men. Hallelujah. Don't forget, Sunday morning is baptismal service, but we have a School of the Bible class before that at 9 o'clock, then service at 10. There'll be water baptism. Those of you that have signed up, make sure, I believe you can still probably sign up tonight. Is that true? Sign up out in the north lobby. And if you want to help, remember, if you want to help, you won't be able to observe the baptism. So make sure that but it's great to help, but you won't be able to see someone, a friend, if they're getting baptized. You won't be able to see that. All right. Anything else tonight? Yeah, I was going to say the RBA, the Rhema Basketball Association. Go see those wannabes play tonight. Amen. Have some fun. All right. They told me, yeah, the games are going to start at 9 and 10. I said, 9 and 10? You know how long I'll be asleep by the time you all tip off? They're asking me if I'm coming. I'll make one night. I'll make it. Lord, help me. But you young folks have a good time tonight, okay? I see them over there. They're all ready to go. All right. God bless you. Love on people tonight before you leave. Have a great night.